You might call these two voices bookends of U.S. policy in Central America.
But let us be clear as to the American attitude toward the government of Nicaragua. We do not seek its overthrow.
General Noriega's reckless threats and attacks upon Americans in Panama created an imminent danger to the 35,000 American citizens in Panama.
Ronald Reagan in 1983 outlining his aggressive policy against the Sandinistas in Nicaragua, and George H.W. Bush announcing the invasion of Panama to overthrow the government of Manuel Noriega. Back then, U.S. policy and leverage in Central America involved military aid, like the aid now being considered for Ukraine. U.S. clout in Central America also depended on support of some questionable military dictators during the Cold War. President Obama is asking Congress for $1 billion to help Central America in his current budget. But what kind of leverage does the U.S. have now that the old leaders and the old Cold War missions in that region are gone? Cynthia Arnson is the director of the Latin American program at the Woodrow Wilson International Center for Scholars in Washington, D.C.
During the 1980s, the U.S. effort was definitely aimed at defeating the insurgencies, particularly in El Salvador, to a lesser extent in Guatemala, because the human rights situation was so bad that Congress had cut off military aid, and also in undermining the Sandinista government in Nicaragua, which was a guerrilla movement that had overthrown a dictator that had been supported by the United States for many years. The internal armed conflicts came to an end in the 1990s, and there was an effort by the international community to contribute to development assistance, to reform of the armed forces and the police, and to get elites to pay higher taxes. And the aid and attention really sort of dissipated over the course of the 1990s. And of course, by the end of that decade during the Clinton administration, Colombia became the central focus of U.S. policy in the hemisphere. Central America very much slipped off the radar screen. And there were terrible problems of violence. There were underlying structural problems that were never addressed. And those are the kinds of issues now that have come into the forefront. The real wake-up call was the crisis of unaccompanied children flooding across the U.S. border that peaked over the summer in June and July of this past year. And I think it led U.S. policymakers, the U.S. public, to focus once again on the terrible violence, the problems of economic exclusion, of a lack of jobs and opportunities that have been the major drivers behind this unprecedented wave of child migration.
Do you believe that $1 billion can address those structural issues, or will that money fuel the pre-existing corruption and that more of an investment is really required?
Corruption is definitely an issue, but I think there will be some gains that will be possible with those kinds of resources. But it's not just a question of resources. It's a question of leadership and of a political will to make the difficult changes and implement the much deeper reforms that the whole region needs, or particularly the Northern Triangle.
What's the picture look like country to country if we're to make plans in dealing with a changing relationship in Nicaragua versus Guatemala? And might there be an opportunity to work with partners in the hemisphere as opposed to doing it unilaterally?
There are certainly efforts to work with partners in the hemisphere. The main development institution, the Inter-American Development Bank, is very heavily engaged with trying to create opportunities for young people, improving education, improving technical and vocational skills so that people have a future. The main focus of this aid package is on the three countries of what's referred to as the Northern Triangle: El Salvador, Guatemala, and Honduras, where the problems of crime and violence and of lack of opportunity, lack of growth, are the most extensive. Each country is different, though. The problems in Guatemala involve a lot of exclusion of the 50 or so percent of the population that's of indigenous origin. In El Salvador, there is a terrible and resurgent problem of gang violence, although El Salvador has made a lot more progress than its neighbors, in part because of the Millennium Challenge Corporation partnership that it has had with the U.S. government that sets out clear objectives and measurements of how those objectives are being met. Honduras has made some important improvements in controlling its borders, especially its northern border, which has become a key corridor for drug trafficking. But in all three countries, the ability of organized crime to have taken root also depends on penetration and corruption of the existing structures of the police, of the court system, even some parts of civil society and the political system. So it's going to be very, very difficult to simply come in with an aid package and eradicate that deep sort of sense of influence and penetration of those systems. And that is going to be a very key challenge, which is why transparency is going to be such an important component of reestablishing the rule of law.
Finally, some have said that with the parallels demand for drugs in the United States, that it's going to be very difficult to use traditional aid to reform institutions in Central America, that the money might better be spent on reducing the demand side of the drug market in the United States, that would be the biggest contributor to reform in Central America.
There have been some important reductions in drug consumption in the United States, but of course, Central America and Mexico and the Caribbean have somewhat of an advantage, but also the tremendous disadvantage in this case of being the neighbors of the largest consuming drug population in the world. It is not the case, even though certain states in the United States and certain countries in Latin America have experimented with the legalization of marijuana consumption, that is just not going to be a part of the picture with cocaine and heroin. And those are the drugs that are corrupting these political systems and institutions. Even if it's important to step up the treatment and prevention and inclusion opportunities in the United States to further lower demand, that is not alone going to be sufficient. There have to be very, very strong efforts to reform the systems in those three countries.
Cynthia Aronson is Director of Latin American Program at the Woodrow Wilson International Center for Scholars. Thanks so much.
Thank you.
There's a lot going on right now. Mounting economic inequality, threats to democracy, environmental disaster, the sour stench of chaos in the air. I'm Brooke Gladstone, host of WNYC's On the Media. Want to understand the reasons and the meanings of the narratives that led us here, and maybe how to head them off at the pass? That's On the Media's specialty. Take a listen wherever you get your podcasts.